participating in that event, highlighting Virginia City and the many aspects that we have here. That's my report.
Thank you for that report, Todd. Commissioner Gilman, you have any questions or comments for Todd?
No questions. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman?
No. Thank you for the report.
All right. Thanks again, Todd.
Thank you.
Nice wrap up to the year. Up next, Comptroller's Office. Comptroller McCain.
Nothing at this time. Thank you.
All right. I believe I saw the assessor with us today. Does she have an update? All right. You do or don't? Okay. Let's move on to the recorder's office. Recorder McPherson. All right. How about the IT department? James Dean.
Morning, Commissioners. James Dean, Story County IT Director. A few updates here. The county has purchased a password management software called Keeper per Commissioner Clay Mitchell's recommendations and directives. That's been purchased and licensed. The IT department has been using it for a couple of weeks now. We're happy with it. Meets federal encryption standards, so we're comfortable in offering it out to all the departments. I offered that this morning during department head meetings. Every department has a license, and it's just a way to capture all of our important passwords in a meaningful way, and also have a way to recover and keep things under a tight wrap instead of the post-it notes under the keyboard method. Working with fire and community development to streamline our already turbocharged permitting process. We're going to be looking at speeding some things up to make our staff a little bit easier on internal processes for issuing a business license, or not business license, but inspection permits and things like that. And then finally, website updates. We've re-engaged Civic Plus. That contract has been paid for, and we're working with the Abbey Agency to migrate the content back, and that has been kicked off, and we look to have some future updates on that shortly. That's all I have.
All right. Thank you, James. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for James?
No questions. Thanks, James.
Vice Chairman?
No. Thanks for the update.
All right. Moving right along to Human Resources.
Nothing.
All right. Thanks, Randy. How about Community Development? Director Pete Renaud?
Nothing to report today.
All right. Thanks, Pete. I see the judge back there. You have anything for us today, Judge?
Judge Harrington, for the record, good morning, Commissioners. Good morning, Mr. Austin. We're currently, our court is currently phasing out of the traffic, the new traffic management system, because it didn't work, and we're phasing into a system where all the traffic's going to be together. And I think I've spoken to you before about what it's, the havoc that it's caused, but it seems like it's going to start working out. Also, we've been working closely with the Sheriff's Department on expanding our pretrial services, which is very important to the community's safety and very important to protecting everybody's rights. So that's what we've been working with. And we're also very, very excited to see that the parking lot project it's in the works, and we're really thankful, and we're going to be working with Public Works on that. So basically, that's all I have to say. I just wanted to get up and say something. So,
wonderful.
Anything? Any questions?
Thank you for the update. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for the judge today?
I have no questions. Thank you for that nice report.
Hi, Mr. Gilman.
All right. Okay, Vice Chairman, thanks. Now's a great time to thank her for the idea of clapping.
What's that?
You always have good ideas.
Thank you so kindly, Judge.
Yes.
All right. How about the DA's office? Today we have Deputy DA Brown with us. By the way, while you're making your way up there, for folks that don't know, again, Deputy DA Loomis has retired. Deputy DA Brown has stepped in, did not miss a beat. So I've had the opportunity to work with him recently and talk about hit the ground running. I assume you got your running shoes on today as well. Appreciate it. Look at those.
Yeah. Brian Brown, Story County District Attorney's Office. It's a pleasure to be here in person. You've seen me a couple times on Zoom over the last couple months. I've been working in the background with Ann for about 18 months on various projects. I've known Ann for a number of years in the decades. I've known Mr. Loomis for the same period of time. I had the pleasure of litigating cases throughout the state with Mr. Loomis, and I really am looking forward to being part of the team. I met with the department head team this morning, looking forward to getting to know everybody a little bit better, and appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you very much, sir. Commissioner Gilman, anything for Deputy DA Brown?
Welcome aboard. Nice to have your help.
All right, Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Good to go. Thank you.
All right. Thank you again. Good to have you here. How about the County Manager's Office? County Manager Osborne.
Thank you. Commissioners, Austin Osborne, for the record. Just to let you know, we do plan at the January 2nd commission meeting having the solid waste management RFP in front of you for review. We will have that entire analysis report by Sloan Vasquez, the firm we're working with, out for the public to review. So that's coming up, and it'll be interesting. The next thing is I want to let the folks know around the communities that we are planning with Kathy and Lindy a master plan series of workshops across all the communities across the county. Some of the discussion at those communities will include a little bit of regional things that are going on that we're having conversations with Washoe RTC and Washoe Regional Planning and the Washoe Manager's Office and Lyon County, Carson City, about lots of different things, but some of them addressing transportation, transportation routes and housing and in economic development. And so we look forward to talking about some of these things in each of our communities as they apply to us and getting the master plan update here for the five-year update done this year. Kathy, Lindy, and I have talked about getting that master plan completed at least by January of the next coming year or even somewhere around that period of time. The next thing just want to remind you we have Honey has started with us, as she has said earlier in her staff report. I'm really excited working with her as our new administrative officer. I can't think of a better person with a background and skills and detail and everything that she has and puts into her work, better fit for the job. The only thing I'm watching is kind of all the cool stuff is going to her, so I'm not sure I'm gonna handle that. But so I think it'll be a fun job with a lot of projects and things to work on. And then lastly, I just want to talk about the last merchants mixer that the VCTC with Mr. Tuttle put together, and Mike Northern was able to attend that meeting and talk about snow removal and some of the challenges we're having in town. And it was definitely, there were some pointed members in the audience that asked some tough questions, and we're pretty all over it. And Mike did a fabulous job just responding to them, kind of rolling with the punches and letting folks know what the plans are, and everyone walked away from the meeting relatively happy. So thank you, Mike, and that's all I have.
Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Austin?
I have no questions. Thank you, Austin.
Mr. Chairman Mitchell?
I'm good, thank you.
All right, I just, I couldn't attend. I wasn't feeling well, but I did hear some feedback regarding the merchants mix and mingle, and I want to extend a thank you to Mike for taking a very difficult position up there. It's never easy, but I think you handled it very well. So much appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you, Austin.
Right, thank you.
All right, how about the Clerk Treasurer's Office? Clerk Treasurer Hindle.
Thank you, Commissioners. Jim Hindle, Story County Clerk Treasurer. A couple things. It's always interesting in the Clerk's Office. As everybody knows, we put out an announcement this week that the DMV window for vehicle registrations will be closed until further notice due to some personnel changes. I know that this is a very valuable service provided to our citizens and our residents, and we know that this will cause some dislocation for them given the changes at Reno and Carson City DMV. However, we will work to bring someone in and open that window back up. I don't expect it to be quick because the individual will have to come in and be trained by DMV, which is a bit of a process, and then also background checked. And as I said earlier, it took about a year to get through that whole process for the last person that went through. Mm. Hopefully it'll be quick. Hopefully we can get it open by second quarter. That's our goal. We're also trying to work with DMV and see if there's any way for temporary staffing, et cetera, to try and do it more quickly. On top of that, so stay tuned on that. We'll keep everybody informed as we're able to make developments and as HR and I can work together and try and bring somebody in. On top of that, we are, as I've been talking for the last number of meetings, running right into elections. And those will be coming up again. The presidential preference primary is on February 6th. The uniformed military overseas ballots will be going out this weekend, beginning of the week. And ballots for Democrats and Republicans will be going out the second week of January for that primary. We will be working to get the poll workers trained as well as election board, so stay tuned on that. But if there are people who are interested, please come in, participate. That is the way we make sure these processes are transparent and are accurate, is by having people involved. Lastly is we will be transitioning to an armored car service at the beginning of the year to make our banking deposits that can't be made online. And I appreciate Commissioner's input on that. We have been working with both Wells Fargo, and we'll be working with Garda in order to initiate that and get it going for both efficiency as well as safety. And appreciate the sheriff again offering services of deputies. This will just make it a little more consistent and will allow us to do it with more efficiency by using these services with the bank. Lastly, given that we're near the end of the year, we've been going through within the clerk's office really since 2020, a lot of transition, a lot of changes, a lot of legislative changes and regulatory changes, and given staffing staffing development, we're catching up on things. It's just a very busy time, and I want to give tremendous credit to Heather Faircloth, deputy clerk and treasurer, and to Alicia Duke, deputy clerk and responsible for the district court. Both of them have done a tremendous job stepping up, learning new activities, taking on new responsibilities, and being leaders in the office, and couldn't get done what we do get done without them. We are still learning, we're still developing, we're still training, and so continuous improvement is definitely a watchword for the clerk's office. But thanks to the comptroller's office, thanks to human resources, many departments who have supported us. As we go through our personnel changes, it's really an opportunity for us to look at the way the whole office works. And so we'll probably be coming back with some plans and how this impacts staffing, et cetera, to allow us to get the job done, given that the state is changing in elections office. The fact that the elections office at the Secretary of State has tripled in size is a tremendous impact on us, as well as just the overall economic activity, beneficial economic activity within the county. But that also gives us some challenges, and working with the comptroller's office, we'll work through and make sure we're doing things right and improving our activity.
Thank you for that very thorough update, Jim. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Jim?
No, thank you, Jim.
Chairman Mitchell?
No, thanks for the update.
All right. Thanks again, Jim. Appreciate it. Before we wrap up staff reports, is there anybody that I have not called on that has an update today? All right. Not seeing anybody else. Thank you to everyone who gave an update today. Very much appreciate that. We're going to get back to today's agenda. That brings us to item number 8, which is board comment. I'll start off with Commissioner Gilman.
No comment today. Thank you, sir.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell.
I just have one thing I'd like to mention. You know, I was helping get the word out about the temporary closure on the DMV services and learned quite a bit from our engaged public. And so I just thought I'd mention a couple of the things that I learned as far as maybe workarounds and some ways to get your business done in the meantime. Interestingly enough, someone mentioned that Douglas County's DMV is also closed right now, and so that's not an option. Several people mentioned that if you're going to head to Yarrington, they do take walk-ins, but they encourage getting there early in the day, because if they are to capacity with the business they have to do, they will close their line at some point, and so people had better success going down early in the day. The DMV actually also announced on their website, the state website for the DMV, that They would make available to Story County residents walk-in services on Tuesdays and Thursdays at the Reno DMV. You'd have to prove that you're a resident of Story County, but they wanted to do to offer that to fill in the gap. And so I thought that was really nice. Carson and Reno are mostly by appointment. There are some regular walk-in hours at the Reno DMV, but in Carson City, the only walk-in, there are certain transaction types that are fairly simple that you're allowed to go and do walk-in business down there, like and they also have a kiosk down there, and so you're welcome to avail yourself of that if it is a fairly simple transaction, can be done there. But definitely checking on the DMV's website, that'll help guide you based on the type of transaction that you have on where you can get that business done. And that's all I wanted to mention. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. I know there's been some questions, and very, very useful information. I hope you get that out online, too. All right. I don't have anything today except that I would ask that we have a moment of silence for some Story County residents that have passed away. First on the list, I don't like having a fairly hefty list, but Jeff Rockstrom from Mark Twain, also known as Hot Dog Jeff to his friends, used to sell hot dogs during events by the Canvas Cafe. He has passed away. He was a veteran and a resident of Story County for quite some time. Also, Pamela Barker, another Mark Twain resident, been in our county for quite some time. Passed away, I believe, just last week. Condolences go out to her family as well as Jeff's family. And then Rick Draper is a Virginia City Highlands resident that I had the opportunity to work with, plowing snow and doing roads. So for those three and anybody that I did not mention today that has passed away, I'd ask that we just take a moment of silence to remember those folks. All right. Thank you very much. Moving right along to item number 9, this is discussion for possible action. Review and possible approval of the Story County audited financial statements for the year ending June 30, 2023, completed by DiPietro and Thornton. Comptroller McCain.
Good morning. Jennifer McCain for the record. I just want to first give you a couple of highlights. Our financial audit ending June 30th, 2023 was completed by DiPietro and Thornton, as you said. Specifically, Joe Costanza is our auditor. Story County ended the year with a net position of approximately $61 million, with $42 million in our government activities and $18 million in our business activities. Our revenues increased last year by approximately $8 million, which on the flip side, our expenses increased close to $7 million. During the year, we transferred $4.5 million from the general fund into our capital fund for some projects. Unfortunately, some of those projects have not been able to start yet, but we will see all of that roll into the budget next year, and then we won't have to make those transfers. We have one fund that did end with a negative balance. That is our fire grant fund, and that was a negative $40,000, easily explainable. There's always a process of billing, and which creates the revenue and the expenses that are go out first. So that will be easily explainable to taxation. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Joe Costanza. He can summarize his report and answer any questions.
As Jennifer says, my name is Joe Costanza. With the CPA firm DiPietro & Thornton, I'd like to thank you guys all for having me here and having me back again for another year. I do enjoy working with Story County, and it is an honor that each year gets easier and easier. First of all, the most important thing is the audit is a clean opinion. It's an unmodified opinion, and that means that the financial statements, you know, I am certifying that they are accurate and that they could be taken for fact. And that the good news is they also show the county in really good financial standing. As Jennifer mentioned, the income was at about $16 million. Compared to prior year, that it was at $14 million, so that's an increase. And one of the things to remember is, I know I say this every year, we have to put on the PERS on the funding on your financial statements each year. And due to the market, that actually was a big hit on your statements this year. So even with that hit of a liability that you probably really don't really owe, you guys still turned a bigger profit than the year before. A couple of things that I wanted to point out. The expenses all came in pretty much at or under budget. That's kind of an important thing I always like to point out for governments, because if you're not budgeting correctly, you're not planning correctly, you know, things probably aren't going to turn out okay. But one of the things, and this has been a yearly thing, but this year was even, I mean, it was amazing. Every expense, you know, came in either at or under where you guys wanted it to be. And even the ones that came under, there was a reasoning. There were projects that weren't started. There wasn't like the budgets were just thrown out there, but there was always a reasoning. You know, like I said, the financial statements are in very good shape. There's close to $74 million in the bank and investment accounts. The general fund had a profit of $13 million. That's $12 million over budget. That's because of expenses being down, but also income being up. Your assets are $60 million over your liabilities. The statements look really good as far as the county. One of the things, though, that I like to point out to people as an auditor is I have two jobs, really, for you guys. One is to make sure that everything is materially accurate. And two is to look over your accounting systems to make sure that that always stays the fact. I take the second job very seriously. And one of the things I've always told everyone here and everyone I work with, if I find something, it doesn't mean everything's wrong. And I like to find things before they can escalate. So there were a couple things this year I found, you know, that I would like to see improved in future years. And I just kind of wanted to go over them because they sound bad, but there are reasons why they're not bad. But there are reasons why if they don't get addressed, they could turn into issues. The first one is a pretty easy one. You know, I help draft the statements. It's not an ideal situation. It's the practically it's going to happen with a county your size. The comptroller's office has worked to get education. They're trying to push to that thing. But even once they do, you know, it's still going to always be a process with us. And also with computers nowadays, they're doing most of the work, not even me. So we really don't really fear that anymore, but I do like to bring it up every year. The other two issues, the first issue that I ran into was when I looked at the financial statements, the taxes looked in line. When I looked at the detail, I noticed that the real estate taxes looked low and the personal property taxes looked high. Again, they all go to the same place in the financial statement, so they don't really affect the financial statements at all. And, you know, I brought this up to the comptroller's office, and they noticed that, you know, in 1 month that there was a kind of a screw-up there. And like I said, it's not a big deal because it doesn't affect the numbers, and you know that the numbers are coming in right. But what it does is it could affect planning in the future. So I talked to them, and, I think one of the things that I suggested was each month just do a quick check to see, you know, not just on the top line numbers, but the bottom line numbers. Like I said, I do emphasize that the total numbers of taxes collected was accurate. And, what I like to do is take it back to the tax rolls to make sure you're collecting what you're supposed to. It all made sense and everything was working out. And it wouldn't even be noticeable on the financial statement level. But I kind of went a little deeper. The other issue that came up was the first step I do. One of the first steps I do is ask for a bank rec. And I was provided a bank rec, and it all balanced. It looked good, but one of the things was the deposit in transit. You know, I want a little bit more detail on it. In talking to the comptroller, they knew it, the number looked correct because they knew what they were supposed to get and what went in the bank, but they couldn't identify each deposit to the T. With cash, I kind of said, I need this.